This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, everybody. This is Dave, and it's time for the sports. Over the next half hour, we'll be reading what's on the air today, what events are coming up for the local teams, and then we'll delve into the main articles that are in this morning's sports section of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Here are your sports on the air today. Golf, the 2024 PGA Professional Championship will be on at 5 p.m. on the Golf Channel. Major League Baseball, the Cubs at Mets, 7 p.m. on MLB Network. Reds at San Diego, 9:40 p.m. on Valley Sports Ohio and 700 WLW. Atlanta at Seattle will be joined in progress at 10 p.m. on the MLB Network. NBA basketball playoff action tonight. These are all Eastern Conference playoff games. Philadelphia at the New York Knicks at 7 p.m. on TNT. Orlando at Cleveland at 8 p.m. on the NBA Network. And Indiana at Milwaukee, 9:30 p.m. on TNT. NHL hockey tonight. These are all playoff games. In the Eastern Conference, Toronto is at Boston at 7 p.m. on ESPN. The New York Islanders will be at Carolina, 7:30 p.m. on TBS. In the Western Conference playoffs, Colorado will be at Winnipeg, 9:30 p.m. on ESPN. And back to the Eastern Conference, Nashville will be at Vancouver. That is at 10 p.m. on TBS. Men's soccer today, the Saudi Pro League, Al-Ittihad versus Al-Hilal. I apologize if the pronunciation was not correct. 1:45 p.m. on Fox Sports 2. UEFA Champions League, Real Madrid at Bayern Munich, 3 p.m. on CBS. And the CONCACAF Champions League, Club America at Pachuca, 9 p.m. That'll be on Fox Sports 1. Finally, tennis today. Tennis action has already been concluded. And that will do it for Sports on the Air. And here are your upcoming events. The FCC team will be at Colorado on Saturday. That kickoff is scheduled for 7:30. On May the 11th, they are at Columbus to resume the Hell is Real rivalry. That game is slated to start at 7:45. And on May 15th, they have a home game against Atlanta. That game time is 7:30. The Cincinnati Reds will play their second of a three-game series in San Diego tonight against the Padres. First pitch is at 9:40 p.m. And tomorrow night, Wednesday night, they also play the Padres. That's actually a business day special. That game time is 4:10 p.m. Cincinnati time. The Reds are off on Thursday. Turning now to the front page, the featured article is headlined, Win Now. Bengals Miss Shot to Get Elite Defender in the Draft. Ask columnist Jason Williams anything, sports or non-sports, and he'll pick some of your questions and respond on Cincinnati.com. His email is jwilliams@inquirer.com, all lowercase, message. What's your big takeaway from the Bengals draft? Reply. Their narrative around the Bengals is, quote, win now. Not sure we saw a, quote, win now approach to the draft. Want to get back to the Super Bowl? Then do everything possible to get the best defensive player in the draft. Instead, the Bengals sat on their hands and did not trade up to get Texas defensive tackle Byron Murphy II. Seattle selected Murphy with the 16th overall pick in the first round, two spots ahead of the Bengals. Cincinnati then picked what draft guru Mel Kiper Jr. called a, quote, developmental right tackle in Georgia's Amarius Mims, who entered the draft early, just after 8 starts in college. We all know how much the Bengals struggled to develop offensive linemen. The Bengals had 10 picks this year, giving them plenty of draft capital to make a trade. They liked Murphy a lot, so much so that the Bengals coach Zach Taylor attended Murphy's pro day at Texas. Taylor doesn't often attend draft prospects' pro day workouts. The Bengals knew Seattle liked Murphy also. Cincinnati chose to follow its stick in their ways tradition of not trading up in the draft. You never know how any team's draft is going to pan out. The Bengals may have had a solid draft, they may not have. Certainly, there are things to like about the Bengals draft, including adding defensive tackle depth with Texas A&M's McKinley Jackson, and getting an Iowa tight end despite Eric Auld's recent injuries. But the Bengals missed on a chance to go big on day one of the draft. Sigh. Want to know who drafts with a win-now mentality? The Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the team the Bengals are consistently comparing themselves to and chasing in the AFC. The defending Super Bowl champions traded up 4 spots in the first round to get Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy. The Chiefs' wide receiver group was a weak spot last season, so Kansas City went all in on trying to fix it in the draft. The Chiefs have a history of going for it in the draft. They traded up 1 spot in the second round to get the offensive tackle they wanted, Kingsley Suamataya of BYU. Kansas City picked quarterback Patrick Mahomes in the 2017 draft after trading up. He's brought the Lombardi home to Kansas City 3 times. Remember that the next time you hear the Bengals are all in on winning now, entering the draft. The next article begins at the top of the front page with the ominous headline, "Old Fracture," that's in quotes, "discovered in CES's hand." That's, of course, Encarnacion Strand of the Reds. This article is written by Gordon Wittenmeyer. Dateline, Arlington, Texas. Cincinnati Reds hitters Tyler Stevenson and Christian Encarnacion Strand both were out of the lineup Sunday after getting hit by pitches on their hands in Saturday's game and after x-ray results were negative in both cases. Stevenson, the catcher, was already scheduled to have Sunday off with Luke Maley catching Andrew Abbott. But the Reds are monitoring Encarnacion Strand, who's at least a day-to-day decision with pain in the right wrist and a wrinkle thrown into the equation when the x-ray results revealed that an old fracture in the tip of one of his bones. CES said he did not know when he might have suffered the fracture, which the x-ray showed had happened in the same spot he was hit on Saturday. "I have no clue," said Encarnacion Strand, who figured it could not have been very recent because he was not playing in any kind of significant pain before getting hit this time. He said he was waiting to hear whether he would be scheduled for an MRI to get a better look at the condition of the wrist, but after being treated as unavailable for Sunday's game, he said afterward it already felt better and that he's hopeful he's only out a game or two. The medical staff says that it's just more of a pain tolerance. Whether he can play through it at this point, that was said by Reds manager David Bell. Pain tolerance apparently has not been an issue with Encarnacion Strand, considering he never knew the bone was fractured whenever it happened and played through it. "Normally, that's what I do," he said. CES stayed in the game after getting hit in the first inning Saturday and later singled on a slow roller up the third baseline. Our final front page article this morning begins in the right-hand column with the headline, "Southwest Ohio Teams Divisions Regions Set for 2024. This article is written by James Weber. The Ohio High School Athletic Association Board of Directors approved the 2024 football divisional breakdowns and regional assignments during its April board meeting. The largest 70 schools are placed in Division 1, and all remaining schools are divided equally into Divisions 2 through 7, with about 106 schools per division. Among the highlights of teams moving due to realignment, two of the area's most consistently successful teams, Baden and Winton Woods, move up a division due to competitive balance. 3 of the Southwest Ohio's northernmost programs, Lebanon, Middletown, and Springboro, have been moved out of Region 4 and Division 1 to Region 2, where they could face longer trips in the playoffs. OHSAA member schools may opt to move up to Division 1 if the referendum issue 1B passes this spring. Results of the referendum voting will be announced May 16th. Earlier this spring, the OHSAA received updated base enrollment data from the Ohio Department of Education to use for the 2024-25 and 25-26 school years. In football, competitive balance data from the previous season is used each season to create a new adjusted enrollment count. The Board of Directors also approved the 2024 football regulations. The official start date for practice is Thursday, August the 1st. High schools can schedule scrimmages with other schools after one full day of contact practice has been completed. Beginning May the 15th, schools may have 13 days of practice without pads or hitting. An additional 5 days are allowed starting July 15th for schools to complete the mandatory five-day acclimation period if they choose. Here are the regional alignments for Southwest Ohio football teams with notes about the teams changing classes. In Division I, Region 4, we have Coleraine, Elder, Fairfield, Hamilton, Lakota East, Lakota West, Little Miami, Mason, Milford, Moeller, Oak Hills, Princeton, St. Xavier, Sycamore, Walnut Hills, West Claremont, Western Hills, and Winton Woods. Little Miami moves up to Division I because of enrollment, and Winton Woods moves up due to competitive balance. Lebanon, Middletown, and Springboro have moved to Division II because of geography and are in a region with mostly Columbus area schools. Division II, Region 8. Your teams are Aiken, Anderson, Baden, Belmont, Butler, Edgewood, Fairborn, Harrison, Kings, LaSalle, Lima Senior, Loveland, Miamisburg, Monroe, Mount Healthy, Northwest, Piqua, Sydney, Stebbins, Trotwood, Madison, Troy, Turpin, West Carrollton, Withrow, and Xenia. Aiken, Butler, Monroe, Mount Healthy, and West Carrollton move up a division due to enrollment. Baden moves up from Division III due to competitive balance. LaSalle was set to move down to Division III on enrollment, but stays in D2 on competitive balance. Division III, Region 12. The teams, Batavia, Bellbrook, Bellefontaine, Carroll, Salina, Chaminade-Julienne, Chillicothe, Dunbar, Franklin, Goshen, Greenville, Hillsborough, Hughes, London, McNicholas, Meadowdale, Miami Trace, Ponitz, Ross, St. Mary's Memorial, Talawanda, Tecumseh, Tippecanoe, Wapakoneta, Western Brown, Wilmington, and Woodward. Batavia and McNicholas move up due to enrollment. Ross moves down one division due to enrollment. Talawanda moves down one division due to competitive balance. Division 4, Region 16. Your teams are Alter, Bethel Tate, Brookville, Cincinnati Hills Christian Academy, Clinton Massey, Eaton, Fenwick, Indian Hill, Gamble, Kenton Ridge, McLean, New Richmond, Northridge, Northwestern, Oakwood, Redding, Roger Bacon, Shawnee, Schroeder, Taft, Taylor, Thurgood Marshall, Urbana, Valley View, Washington Courthouse, and Wyoming. Bethel Tate and Gamble move up one division due to enrollment. New Richmond moves down a division due to enrollment. CHCA and Fenwick were set to move down due to enrollment, but stay in the same class due to competitive balance. Indian Hill was set to move up due to enrollment, but stays in Division 4 on competitive balance. Division 5, Region 20. The teams are Arcanum, Bath, Carlisle, Clark Montessori, Claremont Northeastern, Finneytown, Graham, Greenville, Greenview, Greenan, Indian Lake, Madeira, Middletown Madison, Marymount, Miami East, Milton Union, North College Hill, North Union, Norwood, Pleasant, Preble Shawnee, Versailles, West Waynesville, West Liberty Salem, and Williamsburg. Williamsburg moves up one division due to competitive balance. In Division 6, we find Edina, Anna, Blanchester, Chesapeake, Cincinnati Country Day, Coldwater, Covington, Dayton Christian, Deer Park, Dixie, East Clinton, Huntington, Madison Plains, Miami Valley Christian Academy, National Trail, Northeastern, Paint Valley, Perry, Portsmouth West, Purcell Marion, Rock Hill, Southeastern, St. Bernard, Elmwood Place, Summit Country Day, and Valley. St. Bernard moves up a division due to enrollment. MVCA moves up a division due to competitive balance. Blanchester, Purcell Marion, and Summit move down a division due to enrollment. CCD was set to move down one division due to enrollment, but stays in Division 6 due to competitive balance. Finally, Division 7, Region 28. The teams are Ansonia, Bradford, Catholic Central, Cedarville, CCPA, Fayetteville, Perry, Fort Loramie, Fort Recovery, Jefferson Township, Layman Catholic, Lockland, Manchester, Marion Local, Minster, Mississauga Valley, New Bremen, New Miami, Ridemont, Riverside, Riverview East, Southeastern Local, St. Henry, Tri-County South, Tri-Village, Troy Christian, Twin Valley South, and Waynesfield Goshen. We'll turn to page D3 for the fourth article today. Excuse me, it's page B3. The headline, MLB Power Rankings. Phillies may not need another turnaround. This article is written by Gabe Laques. It's L-A-C-Q-U-E-S. He's a columnist for USA Today. So what happens if the Philadelphia Phillies are only now heating up? The Atlanta Braves would rather not ponder that question, certainly. The Phillies, who knocked NL East champion Atlanta out of the playoffs over the past two seasons, did so only after suffering through grim and discouraging Aprils. This month has been anything but. The Phillies are closing out the month on a heater, winners of 8 of their last 10, including a stirring sweep at San Diego. At 19 wins and 10 losses, they're barely off Atlanta's Major League best pace of 19 wins and 7 losses. It's a stark contrast to 2022, when the Phillies were a 500 team after a month, and last year's 25 wins and 30 loss start that included significant struggles from new shortstop Trey Turner. Well, Turner's producing at an MVP clip already, and no club is getting better starting pitching. Little wonder that the Phillies are making moves in USA Today's sports power rankings. Here's a look at the week's rankings. Number one, the Atlanta Braves. Marcell Ozuna has driven in 31 runs in 26 games. Number two, the Los Angeles Dodgers. We may have reached the, quote, and never look back portion of this program. Number three, the Baltimore Orioles. Bullpen is a mess after two blown Craig Kimbrel saves, with the Yankees in town next. And number four spot is the New York Yankees. Incidentally, they are one down from last week. The American League's number two team, an ERA with a 3.08, clashes against number one OPS hitting team, Baltimore, whose OPS is 773. Number five, the Cleveland Guardians. They are equal to last week. Impressive showing, even if they should have won two of three against Atlanta. In sixth are the Philadelphia Phillies. They are up one from last week. Alec Boehm's 1.056 OPS makes their lineup a real triple of doom, temple of doom. The Milwaukee Brewers are in seventh place, down one from last week. They gave up 30 runs in two games this week to the Yankees. The Cincinnati Reds are in eighth place, even with last week. Center fielder T.J. Friedl should start a rehab assignment this week. Number nine are the Chicago Cubs. They are up one from last week. Cody Bellinger's fractured ribs opens the door for Pete Crow Armstrong. And in the 10th place is the Texas Rangers. They are up one from last week. Wyatt Langford simply wanted to show off his speed by making his first career homer the inside the park variety. Number 11, the Seattle Mariners. They're up two from last week. George Kirby back on the beam with a career-high 12-strikeout performance. And number 12 are the Toronto Blue Jays, down three from last week. The bargain basement offseason might be showing up on the field. And number 13, the Boston Red Sox, one down from last week. Tristan Casas' ribcage tear is a significant bummer. And number 14, the Kansas City Royals, up two from last week, just a half game up on the Tigers, but run differential of plus 43 to plus 3. And number 15 are the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are even with last week. Perhaps Kevin Ginkle can hold down the closer role this time around. And number 16 are the New York Mets, up one from last week. Jose Quintana should be nice trade bait if they fall out of contention. Number 17, the Detroit Tigers are up one from last week. Are we living in a world where Tarik Skubal, with a 1.72 ERA, will start the All-Star game? And number 18 of the Tampa Bay Rays, they are down four from last week. Getting swept by the White Sox might be the lowest point in 6 years. And number 19 are the San Francisco Giants at +2. Keaton Wynn has a 1.96 ERA over his last four starts. Number 20, the San Diego Padres at they're down one from last week. Manny Machado has returned to third base after offseason surgery. And number 21 of the Pittsburgh Pirates, down one from last week. A 9-2 start has given way to a 5-win 13-loss slide. The Houston Astros are even with last week at number 22. The Bats need to stay alive after a wake-up call in Mexico City. And number 23, the Washington Nationals are up two from last week. Jacob Young is a 21-for-21 in stolen bases to start his career. At number 24, the Minnesota Twins at +2 from last week. They reeled off seven straight wins when nobody was looking. Number 25 are the St. Louis Cardinals, down one from last week. Another minor league reset for Jordan Walker. Number 26 are the LA Angels, down three from last week. Anthony Rendon could not quite make it to May. Number 27 are the Oakland Athletics. They're up one from last week. Their 4-win, 6-loss road trip, impressive after getting swept at Cleveland to start. And number 28 are the Miami Marlins. They are down one from last week. We've seen enough. This is a bad team. And number 29 are the Colorado Rockies. They're even with last week and just another 3-win, 11-loss skid. And at number 30 and bringing up the rear are the Chicago White Sox, which is exactly where they were last week. Probably have been there all year. There are 3 wins and no losses in the Tommy Pham era. And I chose this as our final article of the day, thinking it might be of local interest. Price Hill Baseball Old-Timers Reveal Hall Class. This is written by Alex Harrison. The Price Hill Baseball Old-Timers announced their 72nd Hall of Fame class to be inducted into the group at a ceremony at Jim and Jack's on the river on May 1st. The 5 new inductees will be honored, including 3 former Major League players, as well as the group's second female inductee. 4 high schoolers from Elder, Western Hills, LaSalle, and Oak Hills will also receive a $2,500 college scholarship. Who joins the Hall of Fame in 2024? After beginning the induction of female professional players last season, Dorothy, nicknamed Dottie Mueller, joins the group as a veteran and multiple 20-game winner in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Former Major League Major Leaguers Scott Klingenbeck, Tim Nearing, and Carl Tuffy Rhodes, as well as former coach and University of Cincinnati equipment manager Red Growthouse, make up the other members of the 2024 class. Mueller, who grew up in Cheviot, played in the AAG PBL from 1947 through 1953 and was a star from the beginning. She won 21 games as a pitcher in both 1947 and 48 for the Peoria Red Wings, where she was an all-star first season and pitched a no-hitter the following year. Mueller was a 3-time champion in the AAG PBL, winning in 1951 and 52 with the South Bend Blue Sox, and again in 1953 to cap her career with the Grand Rapids Chicks. Klingenbeck played at Elder for 2 seasons before transferring to Oak Hills, where he was drafted by the Detroit Tigers in the 1989 draft. Klingenbeck opted for college, attending Ohio State, where he was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, before being drafted by the Baltimore Orioles in 1992. He played in parts of 4 seasons in the majors with Baltimore, Minnesota, and the Cincinnati Reds in 1998. Nearing graduated from LaSalle in 1985 and played at Miami University, where he was the Mid-American Conference Player of the Year in 1988 after hitting .391 in 57 games. He was drafted by the Red Sox later that season and played with the team from 1990 to 1997. After retiring from playing, Nearing was in the front office of the Reds before being hired as a scout by the Yankees, where he took over as vice president of baseball operations. Nearing was also behind the building of Little Fenway Park with the Taylor Creek Youth Organization. Tuffy Rhodes led Western Hills to a state championship as a senior for the Mustangs in 1986 and was also drafted by the Houston Astros in the 3rd round. Rhodes debuted with Houston in 1990 and was in the majors until 1995, having stints with the Cubs and the Boston Red Sox. Following his time in Boston, Rhodes went to Japan, where he became a great in Nippon Professional Baseball. In Japan, Rhodes was a 10-time All-Star and was the league's most valuable player in 2001. He hit 464 home runs in the NPB, the 13th most overall and the most by a foreign-born player. Growth House played as a youth with Don Zimmer and later became a youth baseball coach in Riverside, coaching Pete Rose and later the 1957 National Knothole Champions. As well as his time as a knothole coach and organization president, Growth House spent his professional career as an equipment manager at the University of Cincinnati. The old-timers will annually give their Gallagher Award and a scholarship to a baseball or softball player from Elder, West High, or Oak Hills. And for the first time this year, the group also rewarded a scholarship to a LaSalle player. The 2024 recipients of the Gallagher Scholarship Awards of $2,500 are Tyler Biggs of Elder, Thomas Fleming of West High, John Harlow of LaSalle, and Trenton Murphy of Oak Hills. And to wrap up today's program, here are your sports and brief headlines. Wide receiver Landry attempting NFL return in Jacksonville. Cowboys bring back the number 4 draft pick, Zeke Elliott. Wolves coach Chris Finch needs knee surgery after collision. Esiason and Sims are out as NFL Today analysts, which is a little disappointing. Thunder Dagenault tabbed NBA Coach of the Year. And that'll do it for sports today, Tuesday. I believe it is April the today the 29th. Anyway, this has been Dave. I am on every Tuesday with the sports, and I'll be back next week with more. Until then, please take care.